Beloved friends, we welcome you to the weekly Bible lesson in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, the scripture lesson is found in the prophecy of Amos, the Old Testament prophet expressing with great emphasis what God desired from His earthly people long ago. This we can apply to ourselves in the present day of human history. But let us ask God in prayer briefly for His divine guidance and His blessing upon our study. Beloved and blessed Father and our God, from Thy holy word in this prophetic book of Amos, Thy servant, by the Holy Spirit speak to our consciences and to our hearts. Reveal to each one of us Thy will, Thy desire toward us, and that we ask it to be done for our eternal blessing. We ask it in the precious name of Thy beloved Son, and for His glory. Amen. By way of introduction, it would be helpful to briefly, and I trust clearly, outline the prophecy of the book of Amos. It can be suggested as being divided into three divisions. The first division is chapter 1 and chapter 2, where the prophet declares God's judgment upon specific nations. This we have studied in a previous lesson. The second division, chapters 3 through 6, they are prophetic messages revealing the conditions of the people of God, and in particular, Israel, of course, long ago. The third and last division, chapters 7 through 9, these consist of five different visions which God gave the prophet at that time. The lesson that we have before us today is taken from the second division and relates to the condition of God's earthly people, telling us also what God desired them to be. Our scripture assignment on the subject, what God desires, is found in Amos chapter 4 and verse 1. We shall also go into chapter 5 for a brief section there. Let us begin in Amos chapter 4. We read God speaking to say, "Hear this word, ye kine or cows of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink." In the third chapter, we have recorded the cause and the coming of visitation of judgment upon them. And in similar vein, our fourth chapter continues to do the same. But will you note particularly the prophet's description of the people in chapter 4 in verse 1, which we have read? He describes them as kine, meaning cows of Bashan. Now, why such a description? Well, the cows of Bashan were well known for their sleek and well-fed condition. They fed upon the choicest of the pastures. The expression signifies the prosperous condition of Israel at that time, and also their beastly character. And then their beastly character is enlarged upon by their actions, which the prophet describes. They were selfish, they were cruel, for they oppressed the poor and crushed the needy. Now the closing statement of our verse implies their desire for debauchery and for riotous and licentious living when they say, "Bring and let us drink." Now, if we read down through verse 3, we would find that what happens to dumb cattle would happen to them. They and their posterity would be taken away, as it were, with hooks and fishhooks. Now, please let me insert a timely application at this point to ask the pertinent question, what do you think and what do I think is happening today? How are men and women abusing the material blessings of life, and particularly because of their search for sinful indulgences and riotous living in pleasure at large within the scope of the whole world? Think of the words of our Savior, his prophecy regarding the end of the age, when he spoke long ago and said regarding his second coming, which is very near without doubt. These are the words that he declared. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24:37-39. The worldwide celebration of evil pleasures will someday very suddenly change to shrieks of despair in that day of coming judgment. But we go on with our lesson, and the reading of the lesson that has been assigned takes us now to Amos chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, and also verses 21 through 24. But before we consider this section, the context of chapter 4, which preceded it, should be mentioned a little bit more in detail. Please let me emphasize the theme of our lesson. The subject matter has been assigned, what God desires. And in the fourth chapter, emphatically, God points to this fact. Read the whole chapter at your convenience, but let me briefly outline its important truth. First, we find in the chapter that God visits upon Israel divine judgment because of their sins, and natural disasters bring to them suffering and trouble. This was God's way of seeking to bring them to their senses, spiritually and morally, that they may realize they needed him. But also we note in that chapter, five times in the fourth chapter, God says, "Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord," in verse 6, verse 8, verse 9, and verse 11. Now this was God's desire, repentance and confession, to bring them back to himself. And three times in this same chapter 5, in which we are coming, they are exhorted, "Seek the Lord, and ye shall live." Yet they refuse to do it. But now note the solemn and the divine warning in Amos chapter 4 in verse 12. "Therefore, this will I do unto thee, O Israel. Because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Impenitent, hardened in heart, yet they refuse God's pleading. They would not return unto him. Therefore God said, "You will meet me as your judge. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." Now once more, in present day application, let us make it relevant. Have you not noticed the increasing catastrophes in nature and disasters that are concerned in the land and take place even in the whole world? Now why? Are these catastrophes merely accidental? I do not believe so. They are divine visitations of judgment, even for our national and even worldwide sin. Now why? Well, to cause us to repent, to bring men and women to seek the Lord while he may be found. Also, if we do not, we shall be judged. We shall come face to face with God in judgment. And my beloved friend, let such things speak to your soul as well as to mine, but speak to you if you're not saved in particular, that you may turn to him. Well, did I say of the prophet right? "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, and receive his pardon and forgiveness." Oh, let me plainly ask, my beloved friend, are you prepared to meet God? Meet him you will, but does the precious blood of the Lord Jesus cover your soul? Take home the solemn words, "Prepare to meet thy God," and be sure that you come to the Savior now, and through his atoning sacrifice for your sin, find divine forgiveness and divine acceptance. Now in chapter 5 of Amos, verses 14 and 15, we have the prophet writing, "Seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil, and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph." Now the Lord knew the transgressions. He knew the greatness of their sin. But yet he continues to show his mercy toward them, being slow to anger. One amazing wonder to one's heart and to one's mind is why God continues to bear with the sins and the rebellious spirit of the human race without intervening in judgment. But it is only because of his long suffering and of his mercy. Yes, for every sinner, God wishes them to know the greatness of his sins he is acquainted with, but he still in mercy desires to save. Then why not pray the sinner's prayer, my friend, if sinner you are that is unsaved? Pray that prayer, "God be merciful to me, the sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake." And so God declares, if you seek good, do it. If you seek evil, I will punish you. If you seek good, I will bless you. But now we must go to verses 21 through 24, which is the closing assignment of our lesson in Amos chapter 5. The words declare the inevitable doom of a nation that refuses to return unto the Lord, and God's condemnation of all their outward, now please note this fact, it declares God's condemnation of all their outward religious observances. Yes, they were very religious. They were outwardly keeping the appointed feast days, we find in verse 21. They were outwardly offering burnt offerings and meal offerings, in verse 22. Outwardly, the choirs were singing and playing their anthems of music in verse 23. But also note what God says in verse 21. "I will not smell your solemn assembly." Note again in verse 22, God says, "I will not accept your offering." Once more in verse 23, God declares, "I will not hear the melody of thy viols." Now what a great travesty spiritually this was. Here was a nation of God's own professing people, and yet they were religiously performing all that the law of Moses told them to do, and yet it was nothing but a hollow mockery to the God of glory above. He says he despised their outward worship, their feast days, their offerings. But why? Our beloved, with only one reason, their hearts were far away from him. Note, if you will, verse 24. Note also the concluding verse of this chapter as we quote it. "But let judgment run down as water, and righteousness as a mighty stream." What God declares and what he means, his righteous judgment was inevitable. It would run down as mighty waters, catastrophe indeed, and as righteousness as a mighty stream. But here is the conclusion in verse 27, if we may point this very carefully. Please note the words of God in verse 27. "Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the one whose name is the God of hosts." This is the divine verdict. Oh, let me endeavor to very briefly, but very clearly summarize the object of our lesson. What does God desire? Now think of his desire towards his earthly people long ago. In substance, he desired repentance upon the part of his sinful people. And what does he desire today, my friend? Is it any different? Does he not desire repentance upon the part of the whole sinful world? On the part of every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl? Has he not declared all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? But then there are words which the Apostle Paul has spoken. And when he spoke them to some of the greatest men of the earth as far as their intellectual culture and science and knowledge was concerned, as he spoke upon Mars Hill, the Areopagus in Mars Hill in the city of Athens long ago, he noted all their gods that they worshipped, their idols to which they had erected memory in their temples as well as in all the city streets. And they had one which was rendered unto the unknown God, which Paul said, him declare I unto you. But oh, the closing words of the beloved apostle to that number of men. Mighty in the eyes of the world, cultured in the eyes of all in that day. Paul's words were this: God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17 and verse 31. Now why? Well, why not? But let me continue Paul's words as we follow on in Acts chapter 17 and 32 in the application. Why does God command all men everywhere to repent? Why is this his desire? Because, continues Paul, he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And that man is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom Paul said, he has raised him from the dead. Oh, beloved, is not this the desire of God? Great is his mercy. Great is his long-suffering. Peter has well written, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. And so repentance upon the part of all men, all women, all boys and girls, is God's desire to bring them to himself. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. It will either be repentance or it will be judgment. Now which will it be for you? Which will it be for me? Or we think of the application we can properly make. Then why not seek the Lord? As the prophet Isaiah has declared, we quote it verbatim. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, the joy of knowing these words stand as true today as when they were written by the prophet long ago, recorded in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Yes, shall we not say, what does God desire? Is it not repentance, confession, and faith in the blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he has given to be the sacrifice for our sins? And he prays, he pleads, saying, return unto me, is the language of the heart of God above. Oh, my beloved friend, have you conceded to God's desire? Oh, may I say again, he is not willing that any should perish, but it's either repentance or judgment. May I again emphasize the closing words of dear Paul, as he spoke to the wise men of Athens in that day long ago. It was either repentance or it was judgment. May I point out, it was not a request that God made. God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. My beloved friend, may I say, if you've never repented, God is commanding you. Will you not obey his voice by coming to the Savior? Again, let me quote that prayer, which can indeed be called, truthfully, the sinner's prayer, as it was prayed long ago, and quoted by the Lord Jesus as he told of that incident in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18. When the publican would not lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote his breast, and in penitence and in confession he declares, in true repentance, God be merciful to me, the sinner. So you and I must do so. God's desire, may I say it again? God's desire is that all men might be saved. This is his desire for you, my friend. Are you saved? If not, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ today, and thou shalt be saved. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Blessed Father, we commend, we commit thy holy word, its blessed and precious truth, to the blessing of it in the power of the Holy Spirit alone, in conviction and salvation, as well as comfort and encouragement to all who hear it. In Jesus' name we ask for his glory. Amen.